Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report, and another company update today, this time from Skeena Resources and the company's Vice President of Exploration and Resource Development, Paul Geddes. Skeena is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol SKE and on the OTCQX under the symbol SKREF. Now, just a quick note, Paul is currently on site at the Eskay Creek project, so the call quality might be a little bit dodgy for this interview, but I wanted to bring Paul on to outline some of the recent drill results from this Phase 1 program that is now completed on the Eskay Creek project. The recent drill results from yesterday, headline numbers being almost 8 grams per ton gold equivalent over about 42.5 meters. There was also another drill result, hole 331, that yielded 16 grams per ton gold equivalent over 14.5 meters, as well as hole 341, a little over 5.5 grams per ton gold equivalent over 25.5 meters. Now, as I mentioned, these are infill holes on this 21C zone, but I think one of the key takeaways from this is that these results that you are seeing, even the news release notes that these are higher grade results than what you saw in some of the past drilling, the previous drilling on the project. Paul, can you start us off with a little bit more color on these holes, how they compare to past drilling and what it means for the overall project?
Well, I think it's important for everybody to remember that the original resource that we've got on the books right now of the 3.9 million ounces at 4 gram change is essentially informed by the historical data set, right? So in areas where the drill spacing was tight, we're not really going in and drilling there. We're going in where the drill spacing is much wider because that's inferred mineralization. And we have to basically put holes in between drill holes to add confidence to bring them up to the indicated and measured categories so that, you know, come December, we can start working with the new resource, the PFS, and translate everything into reserves. So what, again, I always find fabulous about this deposit is that when we put our drill holes in between existing ones that inform the block model, and we always see those on our drill sections as the orange blobs that represent the mineralization and the resources as they stand, we always intersect exactly what we're supposed to be seeing. And, you know, not only from the length of the intersection, so they're spatially correct, but we also see the same grades. Now, what's also nice, and we've been talking about this quite often, is that every once in a while you get a very pleasant surprise. So as an example, the headline hole, SK20-364, intersected 7.83 grams per ton over 42.5 meters. Now the intersection itself is a little bit bigger than what we thought it was going to be, but the grade is definitely higher. Now keep in mind that all of that mineralization in the 21C zone is dominantly hosted within the rhyolite sequence. So this is also the bottom of the pit. And if we look at our mine plan and our grade over the years, as we develop the open pit, when we get into the later stages, you know, even though the open pit grade is 4.2 grams per ton, you know, it's offset by some super high grade in the shallow areas and then some lower grade that we see here in the 21C zone. So this would represent some of the lower years, shall we say, in the bigger picture of the mine plan.
So, Paul, what could this all mean for the PFS numbers here? Because that is the focus for the company. Phase 1 drill results, these are what we're talking about. Phase 2 drills are turning 9 drills in total. But when it comes to these drill results and how it impacts the PFS, this was an area that you thought could have been lower grade. You're seeing some of these higher grade results. How does that carry into a PFS?
That's a great question. So if we look at our other drill hole, SK20-331, now the original data that informed the block model were two very low-grade hits from surface drilling back in the 2000s, or sorry, in the 90s rather. And on the section, it was 1.13 grams per ton over 9 meters. And then the next closest hole was 1.7 grams per ton over 12, almost 13 meters. Now, we had put a hole in between those two, and we got incredibly good surprise with you know, close to 16 grams per ton over 14 and a half. So now what does that mean, bigger picture? Well, we had two historical holes that basically said there was some low grade there. We put in another drill hole, added a bunch of incredible silver grade as well as higher grade gold. Net, that will average out and we'll see a positive. Okay, so we're not really adding tons in that one example, but we're adding grade. And the same thing in that same drill hole immediately above it, the historical hole, which informed the resource, was 2.68 grams per ton over three. We intersected basically the same width, but much higher grade. We intersected 9.73 over four and a quarter. So to answer your question, what does that mean into the bigger picture? Well, we're still hoping that we're going to see a bump in the grade, hence getting towards our goal of 5 million ounces at 5 grams per ton. And I think we're well on the way to keeping that on track.
All right. One other aspect of this news release is highlighting the silver, the high-grade silver results in this hole 331. Now, hole 331, that was that 16 grams per ton gold equivalent over about 14 and a half meters. Some of these silver results, though, over that whole 14 and a half meters, it's 665 grams per ton silver. But there are some narrow intercepts, half a meter, almost three quarters of a meter, of almost 3 kilograms a ton of silver. Paul, give us a little bit more information on how important these silver results are to this project as well.
Well, I think that's one thing that that the market tends to forget is that we're highly leveraged to silver. So it's not just an entirely gold play, although on a revenue basis, you know, the gold accounts for the majority of the mineralization and the revenue that will come out of the mine. But again, we do see these nice intersections, and SK originally produced incredible silver grades associated with the gold. And this is just one example where we're seeing that again in areas, you know, close to 3 kilograms a ton of silver. And again, that was a completely unexpected intersection. It was flanked by those two low-grade holes, which possessed absolutely no silver. So again, it's one of these things where we just keep getting these pleasant surprises. And for, you know, a litany of geological reasons, namely, we might have intersected a synvolcanic fault or a vent in the contact mudstones. Hey, we'll take it. It's great news, and we're always seeing these positives.
So, Paul, let's talk about the drilling that is ongoing right now. 9 rigs turning for this Phase 2 program, another infill program focused, again, on resource category conversion. But Phase 1 results, we still should have a few more of those to be released, and this Phase 2 program is ongoing right now. So how do you want investors to understand and to focus on these different programs now with Phase 2 underway?
That's right. So we recently completed all of the Phase 1 drilling. Now, just to remind the audience, the Phase 1 drilling was done outside of the 25-meter development buffers that Barrick had put around on the property. So it was basically just a no-fly zone for liability reasons. Now that we've closed the deal and transferred ownership in its entirety, we can do whatever we want with the property, which means we can now drill within those 25-meter buffers. And again, what we'll be doing is recategorizing any inferred mineralization that was already on the books in those areas and taking it up to the indicated status, if not measured as well. So because the labs are incredibly busy this year, if not more busy than they were last year, we're facing a bit of a problem. So we're flooding the labs, as are all the other companies. So we'll be seeing Phase 1 drilling results probably for the next month, even though we've just started the Phase 2 program. Phase 2, again, we're being very aggressive. We have 9 drills on site currently. We're going to be upping that probably with another 2 more in the very near future, because again, we want to meet our timeline of having all the drilling completed by December 18th or so, so that we can have the resource ready for Q1 of 2021.
And that's still on track then, the resource and the PFS?
Yep, we're completely on schedule. We'll definitely have all the drilling done. And then again, once we get all the assays returned after that, it's just a number crunching exercise producing a new resource estimate. And then that resource estimate will obviously be the basis for which we formulate the PFS study.
All right, so some catalysts to pay attention to for next year. Let's switch focus a little bit and talk about the SNIP project, because as I understand, you now have a drill on site at SNIP. We haven't talked about SNIP in a while, but give us a little update here of what you're drilling there.
Yeah, it's quite exciting to be getting back into SNIP. So we're going to use one helicopter-supported rig out there. We're going to drill from surface. We're anticipating starting off, I believe, on the 28th of October, so very, very shortly here. And the idea is to not do any category conversion. What we want to do is expand the current resource. So now that we have a very good grasp on where the mineralized blocks and the payable blocks are located, the idea is to expand and make it bigger. So we have 650,000 ounces on the books right now at a very respectable grade. The idea is to make that bigger, and that's our next focus. Oh, and that program will probably be about 5,000 meters as budgeted right this second, and will probably trickle into the new year as well.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap it up there. It sounds like a lot of catalysts, a lot of drill results to come out still through the rest of this year. And next year, a couple major events, resource update, PFS, all of those can help to really drive that company, de-risk the project, plus some more drilling out of SNIP. So, hey, Paul, we're going to continue to follow along as more news hits the market. If anybody has any follow-up questions on this news release or any of the past news releases or looking ahead, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I'll get those answered for you. Paul, have a great rest of your time up there on the Eskay Creek project. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks so much, Corey. You take care.